Lord, we lay it all down at your feet. Break new grounds in our hearts right now. Prepare us, Lord God. Prepare us as your vessel of honor. Forgiveness, to tell others about you, to seek those who are lost, to go after the harvest. Father, in your name, in 2020, we make a decision now to lay it all down at your feet. We make a decision now not to carry forth anything that would hold us back, that we've been struggling with in 2019. We draw a line. We draw a line right now in the name of Jesus. Draw a line right now in the name of Jesus. And we're stepping over that line. We're gaining new grounds in the name of Jesus. We are not looking back at what we've left behind anymore. We cut that part loose in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we make a decision now to reach forward. To reach forward for what you have for us in the now. In this season. In the present time. Today. We are not leaving this place until we meet you face to face. We are not leaving this place until we get a fresh word from your throne this morning. To your frequency. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to dial in to your promises, to your vision, to your perfect plan that you have for us in 2020. Let our vision be clear. Open our eyes and let us see. Every step that you are ordering for us, Lord God. No longer will we walk in darkness when we serve a God who is in the light. Right now we make a decision to come out of any areas of darkness in our life. We say, let the light of God shine forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we surrender right now in the name of Jesus. We let go. We let go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is about to do something amazing this morning. That you may be seated. Dad or wave, you may be dismissed. I believe Anchor Youth is staying here, right? Thank you, worship team. I need somebody to take this. Oh! Peter was not expecting that one, huh? Who holds the wallet? Who's got the wallet? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. For men's group, I just want to say it's going to be this Saturday, and we're going to feed you breakfast, okay? It's an all-out breakfast. It's a great time. There's bacon involved, guys. So we want you to be here this Saturday at 10 a.m. We need help as well. We need some people who can cook. Any guys who can cook. I can cook. I'm going to be here. I'm going to help. I need people who can cook that can show up and help us. We want to make this the best breakfast you've ever had in 2020. Okay? It's going to be amazing. So we want you to be here, guys, and be part of what we're doing. Kingdom Man. We're learning so much about what it means to be a man. Not just a man, a kingdom man. I want to be a kingdom man. I'm learning how to become a kingdom man. Last week was the first week in 2020. And I made this bold statement from up here. You know, when you say something from up here, you know, sometimes you go back and you're like, whoa, I can't believe that came out of my mouth. But I made this bold statement that has been keeping me awake for a while. It's keeping me in tune to what God is speaking. See, when God says something, a lot of time, we don't fully understand all the ins and outs, all the little parts of it. There's always a part A, a part B, a part C, and they're all entwined together. A lot of time in the beginning, when we say something, we don't fully understand. But God says, wait for it. Wait for it. If it doesn't make sense now, it will later on. Just wait for it. 2020 would be like a year of diamond. Whoa. Like a diamond year. Where you're going to be able to operate your life like the four C's of a diamond. Number one, you're going to be able to see with clarity. Isn't that what we look for, first of all, in a diamond? How clear is this diamond? You're going to be able to see with clarity through God's lens what God wants you to do. I know what you might want to do in 2020, but don't you want to know what God wants you to do in 2020? I believe when you see through the lens of God, you will be able to see with clarity where you need to go, what you need to do. And then you're gonna operate from a cut from above. That's the second C. When you look for in a diamond, what kind of cut of a diamond it is. You're going to operate with an spirit, with a spirit of excellence. A cut from above in everything that you do. You put this as the standard. I'm going to operate from a spirit of excellence in everything that God has asked me to do. I'm going to come to the gym with a spirit of excellence. I'm going to show up here and deliver a message with a spirit of excellence. It's a decision that we make. It's something that a task, an assignment that we must do to show that spirit of excellence. And the other C is color. We're going to radiate the color of God's love to this community. How about that? In our family, with our loved ones, in the workplace, when people are not so nice to us, we're going to still radiate the love of Christ. Can we do this in 2020? And then the other C is what? Carrot. Our worth in who we are is not going to be in what we know. Our worth is going to be on who we know. Our worth is going to be found in Him. Not in us. Not in our own ability. But through what God can do through us. By showing a spirit of excellence, you are showing what God is all about. A cut from above. God is all about clarity in everything that He does, because God doesn't do anything in darkness. Whenever God does something, it's always, boom, there it is. It's always splendid. It's always magnificent. Because everything that God does explodes with Himself. A spirit of excellence. So when we talk about vision is absolutely important. The Bible says without vision, we die, we perish, we lack focus, we lack restraint. We don't even know what we're doing if we don't have the coordinates to where we are going. Vision provides the boundaries, the direction, the coordinates to the direction, to the destination where He wants us to go. So vision is important. The Bible says, write the vision where? Down. Somewhere. I'm so proud of our youth. This Wednesday, this is what they did. They had a vision board. They all were so excited about writing down the vision. How important is that for us as adults? As parents? As a pastor? What if I have no idea where we're going? Wouldn't that be a shame? You'd be like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? We got to know what we're doing. We got to know where we're going. We got to have direction. And direction comes with that vision that God gives to us. And I believe in 2020 is going to be with clarity. We're going to be able to see. He says, write the vision down, make it plain, so that he who runs may read it. So that you can actually run with this vision. You got to run somewhere with this vision. And it says, in the end, wait for it, in the end, it will speak. Can you believe this? A vision that you write on paper can speak? It can speak. It can speak to you. The vision that God gives to you, to your family, can speak to you on this journey that God wants you to embark on in 2020. Whatever that journey might be. Now, you might look at your journey now and you don't see the connection, because vision is beyond just words that you write down, by the way. It's not just something cute that you come up with and you write it down and it's on a vision board somewhere. It sounds cute. It looks cute. You got bows all around it. You made it very colorful. It might just be that, just a few words that you've laid down, on written down on a board somewhere, but it means much, much more than just a few words that you just jot down somewhere. It's telling a story. A vision is telling a story. It's telling a story, giving you an idea of where you're going in the future, but it's also connecting where you've been. It's mapping out everything in your life that probably you hear, you're like, I wonder what 2020 is going to be like. Because 2019 was certainly not the best year ever. But do you know that 2019 was a prerequisite Whatever you might have gone through in life, it was a prerequisite for what God wants to do in 2020. You might not see it now. You might see it as your season here is just, oh, you know what, tick-tock, my assignment is going to be due in in 2020, and I'm going to be out of here by probably March and maybe February or maybe even June. And you're not seeing the connection of all the dots that God has been plotting throughout your journey. You might be here in 2020, you don't see the connection in 1996, but believe me, the connection in 1996 were always there. Right. You might not see it. You might not see the connection. That's why what I'm saying is this. You're not here by accident. You're here on a divine appointment from God. God has called you to be here. Certainly this morning you were supposed to be here. Despite the icy roads, you made it here. Somebody came home and picked you up if you were not able to make the journey by yourself. But you were not alone. Same in your life, whatever journey that you're on right now, you were never alone. You might think you got there just by yourself, but no. Somebody else helped you along this journey. And you're here because of divine appointment in your life. Wait for the set time for this vision. There's an appointed time for the vision to come to pass. Wait for it. Because you know what, when we talk about New Year, we are always looking forward. It's good to look forward. But the journey to look forward is tied in with where you have been. My journey began in 1996. Now you say, well, okay, that's not too long ago. Yes, it was not very long ago that I found Jesus. It brought into perspective the vision. Because I grew up Hindu, believing that God, my Hindu gods, there were a million of them, they were all mad at me. They were out there to get me. I grew up in fear. When I was little, when it was noonday, I didn't go outside to play. You know why? In my culture, where I come from, in my Hindu background, when you go out to play at noon, can I say this and make sure there's no little kids there? The spirit of the dead will come out and get you. That's how I grew up. That framed my journey for the longest part of my life until 1996. Thank God for 1996. Now when I look back at 2020, I thank God for the journey when it started in 1996, because without 1996, I will not be here today. 1996 was me in Wales, England. Wales. Was my time to actually seek direction. And I remember during this time, and I was like, God, if you are real, you got to speak. In a nutshell, that was my attitude, because I remember having conversation and arguments with my grandparents and saying, the gods that we've been serving all our life, that you guys have been introduced us to, they are dumb gods. Dogs and gods, probably the same. They can actually go in that same sentence. Because I thought they were all after me, to get me, to kill me. And I remember telling my grandma that, hey, they can't speak. All they bring is fear. until that one day. That one day when God spoke. 1996 was the first time when I heard Him speak to me directly. I heard His voice. And the very thing, very first thing that He told me was this: I'm a good God. I'm a good God. Totally changed the way that I saw the journey. It was me making the first step in this journey. It was that first time when I opened up a Bible and I started to read His Word. And I started to see that the whole thing was a love story about me. That this God who died for me loved me. And that was the only reason that He did it. He did it because He loved me so much so that I will get to know Him as a good God. I'm here to tell you that no matter what journey that you've been on, 2019 and even before, God is still a good God. He was good back in 1996. He was good back in 1976. He was good in 1968. He's still good. He never changed.
Amen.
He still holds the same position.
Yes.
He never changed. In 1996, when I heard that God could speak, I thought to myself, without anybody telling me, that I better write things down. I don't know about you, but when God speaks and says something, it's something meaningful, right? It's something that He wants you to grab a hold of and not let go. It's a diamond that He's dropping in your lap and He's saying, take care of it. I felt like that. I felt so privileged and honored that this God who created me, not just me, but everything around me, the God that gave me the coordinates to this journey, loved me so much that He would speak to me. So what I did back in 1996, I started to write things down. Write the vision down. Make it plain so that when he who runs may read it. And I knew I was going to be living a life running. I don't know if you know anything about me. I cannot sit down. If you come and pray with me in my office, guess what? I'll be standing up. I have to move. God knew. God, He wrote that Habakkuk 2:3 for me. Let he who runs with it may also read it. So I started writing things down. It did not make a whole lot of sense in the beginning, but I still wrote it down because the vision, whatever God says, is yet for an appointed time. He says, wait for it. It will surely speak in the end. So I grabbed the whole of God's word and I started writing things down. I was an accounting guy, so this is an accounting ledger. So, guess what? That was the very first thing I started. I grabbed this and I started writing what God spoke to my heart. Whatever it was that I felt God was speaking, I wrote it down. I believe without fully understanding, these were coordinates that He was giving me towards a destination that He was leading me on. I just knew it. Without proper education on the word. Believe me, when I was telling you that I picked up the Bible for the very first time and I was like, where do you even start? I had no idea how to pronounce any of those words. Did not make any sense to me whatsoever. I started reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. Soon I figured out it was the wrong one. Not the wrong one, you know what I'm saying. I could not understand anything that this dude was talking about. And I was like, that cannot be, got to be something else for me, Lord. Please, I'm dumb. I cannot understand. Please explain your word. So I started reading the word. I started developing a hunger for the Word of God, a love for it, that every chance that I had, I grabbed a hold of it. And I put a little sticky on my thingy. That became my very first direction that I had from God. He says, "Thy law is my delight." His word brings me delight. Makes me whole, makes me full, makes me smile, give me joy, helps me wake up in the morning when things are not going right. His word became my delight. And I started writing things down. And I'm sure by now you probably would want to know, what was the first thing you wrote down, right? I mean, you know, it's like you're picking up a book, a novel for the first time. You want to see, what was the first thing that the author went through? Well, I'm about to tell you. And it's going to probably shock you. The very first word that God spoke to me was Tuesday, November 5th, 1996. That was the first time I wrote things down. This is what he said to me. He spoke to me out of Romans 8:1. He said this: "There is no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ." I wrote that down. That verse alone freed me. Because for the longest time, after June 1996, after I received him, made him my Lord, my Savior, my King, I still struggle with the past. My past guilt, my past shame, everything that I did that I knew because of his word that were vile to him, that were not right in God's eyes. I always felt condemned, ashamed, guilty, until I fully understood what God said in Romans 8:1. He says, there is therefore now, in the present, right now, in this season, today, right now, in this hour, it's 11:41, right now, in this hour, this time, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can anybody here this morning identify with this? That there is now, right now in this hour, no condemnation for you who are with Christ, your Lord, your Savior. No matter where you are on your journey, you need a starting point, right? How about starting your journey in 2020 with this? How about starting your journey instead of some cool, cute word that you have written down on your vision board? How about adding this to it? For there is now no condemnation for me. And put your name next to it. For me, Shannon. For me, Peter. For me, John. For me, Richard. For me, Glenn. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a good start to any journey. That is a good start to the year. That is a good start when you start something new in your life. And believe me, many of you are going to be starting something fresh in 2020. How about starting with this? That the past is behind you. God is doing a new thing, and I'm embracing the new in what He's about to do. And I'm going to start with Him because He's the author and the finisher. Because the very first thing that He did in my life in 1996 was to speak to me. That's all He did. He just gave me a word that He loves me. And He wants to give me a direction for my life. And that's all it took. Because that was one thing that was lacking in my life. Knowing that there was a God out there that loved me. Because my whole life, I was stuck in guilt, shame, condemnation. In my journey, what stopped me was myself. What stopped me most of the time from moving forward was nobody else but me. I got in the way of what God wanted to do. Because I saw myself as not worthy. I saw myself as not good enough. Until God told me, you got to leave this behind you. All this upbringing that you have, you got to leave this behind you. You got to leave it. You got to let go of it. The greatest tragedy, the greatest tragedy on your journey is to be so sin conscious that you lose sight of Jesus. The greatest tragedy is to be so sin aware that you lose sight of the one, the only one who can free you, who can set you free. That would be a shame if all you could see when you look at yourself is everything that you've done that is wrong. How do you move past that point? How do you embark on a journey when all you could see is everything that can hold you back? It's not like you're putting sin or anything that displeases God in a category that is not important. It is important. They can affect your journey. They can't get you off track. But if all you see is this, you can easily lose sight of the one who's calling you forward to get out of it. Because when God gives you a vision to accomplish anything in your life, you know what He does? He shows you the mountain peaks of that journey. You know what He hides from you for your own good? The valleys of that journey. He shows you the mountain peaks so that you can actually have a direction, a focus, a 2020 vision of where you need to go. Because if He shows you the valleys first, you'll never embark on the journey. If He shows you the valleys of your journey, you'll never embark on the journey at all. In 1996, in November, right after I wrote this, direction from God came. I want you to leave England and go to the United States. And I want you to attend Oral Roberts University. That was it. That was it in a nutshell. I didn't fully understand what God said. I did not understand what all of this meant. But he showed me the peaks of that journey. I want you to see this as your destination. This was the mountain peaks. He didn't show me the valley. And there were many of those valleys after I said, yes, Lord. Because he knew if he showed me the valleys ahead of the journey, I probably would have said, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't want to embark on this journey. I need another set of direction, Lord, because this cannot be right. Because when God spoke to me about leaving England and going there, and I'm looking, because then I'm an accounting guy, I'm looking at the finances, I'm looking at everything that I know of in the natural, and everything was screaming, you're stupid. In the natural. But that was a valley that God stopped me from seeing. But do you know that in the valley is where you grow the most? In the valleys of your life, in the valleys of your journey, is where you're going to grow the most. God, all along in the valleys, is right along with you. He hasn't abandoned you in the valleys. If you are in a valley and you started your year in 2020 thinking that you are at the bottom of this valley, rejoice. Rejoice, because if God is for you in the valley, he would be with you along the journey in this valley, and he will be with you when you step and start climbing the mountain peaks. He would be with you throughout the journey. His word, his promise says that he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. The very first valley was finances in my life. Because it seems so impossible to embark on a journey when it costs so much money. And when you look at your bank account, there is zero. When God spoke, I was a sophomore in college. I'm working on my bachelor's at the time. And I had a set of direction in my life. I knew where I was wanting to go. I knew what I wanted to do. I had it all mapped out. But it was all my plan. My vision, my purpose, my dream, it was never surrendered to God. I didn't know how. Nobody taught me how to surrender. We sing beautiful song about it, but I can guarantee you many don't know what that means to actually fully surrender unto God. It means letting go of absolutely everything that you hold dear. Everything that you want to hold on to, if you're ready to say, yes, Lord, I am ready to let all of this go for your glory, for your purpose, then God shows up in the valley. Then his provision shows up in the valley. Then his direction shows up in the valley. Then his protection shows up in the valley. Because God will never abandon you, especially when you've said yes. And you are on this journey, and you find yourself in a valley. There's a big gap in my journal. This big gap is found in one of my valleys. It's amazing when you start documenting stuff, and you go back, and you reflect, and you're like, huh, Lord, you were there the whole time. December 23rd, 1997. I wrote this down. Several months has lapsed. There's no journal entry during those months. There is nothing. I go back and I'm like, what happened here? What happened? I don't recognize anything. I see amazing notes that I took. From being in a service in Kensington Temple in England, London, England, Notting Hill Gate, I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff that God spoke. God did not stop speaking. But I believe during this time when God was speaking, I quit listening. God never stopped. I believe when I stopped listening, I got into a valley when I felt that God's presence was not there. Mind you, I'm very new in Christ. I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm the first one in my family to receive Christ. I have no idea, no bearings, no hope. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate through this, how to become a Christian, how to serve Him, how to surrender. I got into this place where I did not even know Him. And then I found this, and I'm sure I'm going to read this to you. You would know exactly where I got this from. These are not my words. This is a poem that I wrote, that I found this there. I think it was on one of these little thing that I wrote. It's actually not this. It's similar to that. It's called The Footprints. You guys know about The Footprints in the Sand? Oh, that was amazing to me when the first time I read this. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my story. That's what I've been going through. I was in the valley, but I did not know, but He was there. And I read this and I wrote this down. It says, Lord, You told me when I decided to follow You, You would walk and talk with me all the way. Isn't that what we want all the time? I mean, isn't that our prayer? Lord, You promised, You said You're going to walk and You're going to talk to me all along the way, especially in the valley. Because sometime when we high on the peak of the mountain, God might be speaking still, but we might, like, oh my gosh, we made it, we made it, yeah, we made it. We might not be truly listening to God, to His voice. But when you're in a valley, guess what? You tune in very eagerly. I want to hear His voice. I want to know where He's at in the valley. And I said, I wrote this down. I said, you promise when I decided to follow, You would walk with me. You would talk with me along the way. But I'm aware that during most of my troublesome times of life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I needed You the most, You leave me. I just don't understand why, in my time of desperation, my time of need, You left me. Where are You, Lord? And He whispered, He says, my precious child, I love You. I will never leave You. When You saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried You. I remember. I did not know the emotion because at that moment in time, I separated myself with a lot of my emotion. I don't know if any guys there did do that. I separated myself from what I was truly feeling. But when I read this morning, it revived that emotion that I felt back in 1997. A lot of times we need to reconnect back to that emotional state we were at in the valley, and knowing that in the valley, He showed up. He showed up. In this valley of my life, He showed up. And He said, son, I'm here. Would you just open your eyes and see? And I'm just now getting started. My opening scripture for today is this. I hope you got time. I hope that meat in the crock pot is on low. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, not sorry. I remember during that tough season writing this down in that next journal entry is this. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law, in your word, in your presence, in your worship. There are treasures that God has hidden in the moments that he set aside for you. When we worshiped this morning, there were special moments in this time of worship, Ursula, where we touched the heart of God. There were special treasures that he set aside just for you this morning. Now, the treasures were there all along. They were there when we were singing this song, I Surrender. They were there when we sung the song, New Wine. They were there the whole time. The diamonds were there. Did you see them? Did you grab a hold of those diamonds that were there? There were many diamonds. As I'm giving the word of God that he put on my heart this morning, there are acres of diamonds in this place. Do you see it? Do you see it? When I became pastor of this church and I looked up and I saw acres of diamonds, I saw diamonds everywhere. Do you see it? For those that have history in this place, do you see the acres of diamonds that God has set in this place? When I walked in this place the very first time and I set foot in this, I call this the new sanctuary. I don't know what that's going to be, but when I set foot in there, you know what I saw in the midst of all the mess that was in there? I saw an acre of diamonds. When I look at you this morning, you know what I see? I see an acre of diamonds. And my prayer in 2020 is this. Lord, open up my eyes and let me see the wonderful things that you have for me now. Now. Today. Not in the next season. Not next year. 2021 is going to come. I don't want to see what God has for me yet in 2021. I want to see now. I want to be prepared now. Today. I want to serve now. Today. I want to surrender now. Today. I don't want to surrender tomorrow. I might not have tomorrow. I don't want to serve God tomorrow. I might not have tomorrow. See, we live in a generation, in a culture where all we see is the next thing, the next job, the next relationship, the next marriage, or whatever it might be that we are looking for in the next thing, the next church. But guess what? You're still going to be the same person, dealing with the same issues. No matter what the next might be, you can fill in the blank with the next. You're still going to be the same person stepping into the next. It's best to remain where you are and allow the Holy Spirit to fully work so that new ground can be broken. New wine can come out so that your eyes can open up and see the wonderful things that He has for you in this season. Not in your next assignment after you leave Kodiak, but in this assignment. How about right here, right now? What does God has in store for you, for your family? In this season, in the now. I'll tell you a story. In the 1800s, there was a guy by the name of Russell Conwell. He was on a journey in the Middle East. And on this journey in the Middle East, he hired a tour guide to show him around. This tour guide told him a story, a true story, about this farmer in South Africa who had a plot of land. He had a plow. He had an ox. And he would plow his field. He plowed his field over and over and over again. That was his job. And then one day, a traveler stopped. A traveler stopped by his farm and told him what was happening in India. In those days in India, they were discovering diamonds. They were discovering diamonds everywhere. The story went like this. They were kicking up dirt this way, and diamonds were coming out. So the farmer, who was very content in his current season, started to become very discontent with his own life. Especially when he heard the story that you didn't have to do much. You'll just kick the dirt and here goes a diamond. He thought about this and he's like, you know what? What am I doing here? So he sold the farm, everything on the farm, and he took off to India. Years pass and he doesn't see a single diamond. He wrote this on a piece of paper. He wrote this a note to nobody. He had no one. He had no legacy. He left everything to follow what was in that next season. He wrote this note. There are no diamonds anywhere. He jumped into a raging river and he died. Took his own life. Back home in South Africa, another man came by and bought the farm. He bought the farm. He had the same ox, the same plow, the same field. And he started plowing. Shortly after he started plowing, he started finding these big giant boulders, rocks all over the field. And he said to himself, who's the idiot who was there before me? No wonder he left. All these rocks are in the way. When if you are a farmer and you're trying to plow a field, rocks get in the way, right? No one wants to plant any crop when it's full of rocks. So he would clear the field. Day after day would clear the field. He would pile rocks on each side of his property. I mean, he's new in town, and there's this priest that comes along to welcome the new farmer in the community. So one day, he's plowing his field, and here comes the priest. The priest comes and talks to him and said, welcome to our community. Anything you need, I'm here for you. Finally, the farmer said, why don't you just come on inside? Let's sit down and talk. So he gets into the living room, the priest does, sits down, and he's staring at this mantle underneath the fireplace. And on this mantle, he sees a big, giant rock. And this rock is shiny a little bit. In the reflection of the light, he could actually see a little light coming out of this rock. And he asks the farmer, is it okay if I take a look at this? The farmer's like, yeah, absolutely, go ahead and take a look. The whole place is littered with this kind of rock. It's all over the place. It takes me hours to clear my field because of this mess. So the priest grabs the rock and looks at it. His mouth dropped. And he says, do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? The farmer's like, I have no idea. They're just in my way. The priest says, this is a diamond in the rough. This is a raw diamond. The farmer had no idea. The whole time, the things that he was plowing off of his field were actually diamonds. The whole property was filled with diamonds. That farm became a diamond mine, one of the most well-known diamond mine in the world. In the 1800s, that diamond that was on that mantle was worth $25,000 in the 1800s. I have no clue what that would be worth today, but I'm sure you can figure that out. Probably worth a lot of money. The farm became the birthplace of the famous diamond mine that even the Queen of England would get her jewels from there. The moral of this story is simply this. Don't get rid of the rocks in your yard. Just kidding. It's simply this. The very thing that you discard as useless can be the most valuable thing that God will use in your vision. Be careful of who and what you have in your life. Who you surround yourself with. What you do with your time. What you do with your talent. What you do with your resources. They're all valuable. But do you see the acres of diamonds underneath your feet? Because in these acres of diamonds, there is his provision. There is his direction. And there is his protection. I want you to be able to see the acres of diamond right underneath your feet. You don't have to look very far. It's your family. It's your home. It's your workplace. It's your church. This is the acre of diamond that same God who spoke to me in 1996, that gave me that very first direction, is that same one who brought me here. To me, that's good enough. That's good enough. If it doesn't say anything else, just knowing that I'm here because of him is good enough for me. Because I know in the place where he's called me is my acre of diamonds. Everything that I need is found here. When I see my purpose, and when I see the vision of the church, when I put my glasses on, I see 2020. I see with clarity where God wants me to go. Because my vision and God's vision for me in this church, in this body, they go hand in hand. In fact, they exist at their best when they're together. When they're together, I can see the acres of diamond. Would you please stand?
Pastor wanted me to share a little short story with you. In 2008, God had stirred our hearts to move from Oklahoma to Alaska. And that's a whole other story. But that next summer in 2009, we had moved. 12 days prior, we almost lost him to heaven, which just goes to show you what was about to change in our life. And the enemy knew it. The enemy knew what was being awakened in our life. So we come to Alaska in 2009, get the kids settled, and kind of get acclimated to the new surroundings. And I was struggling so much to see my acres of diamonds in Alaska. I remember distinctly in one of the kids' bedrooms looking out the window at the majestic beauty of Anchorage. There we had a little bit of a mountain view, and I remember looking, and guess what I saw? No beauty. I saw no beauty. People pay thousands and thousands of dollars to come up to Alaska and see that beauty, and I lived in it, and I didn't see it at all. And I was there, but not there. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure that maybe some of you can relate to that. You're there, but you're not there. And you know, the scripture that Pastor talked about, Psalms 119:18, through a lot of surrender, through a lot of growth and maturity, he opened my eyes. It took you know, a lot of moments in his presence to surrender and say, okay, I'm surrendering my dreams. We just sang that. I had to surrender my dreams. Because at that point, you know where I was? I was in my old season. I was in 2019. I was in my old season, my old safe season, my Oklahoma season. It was safe. It was predictable. It was very boxed in. We had our house and our kids, and I had my predictable life all planned out. You know, when you come from a home where there's chaos or not a lot of safety, that feels good to have that predictable. And God was saying, I have more for you. I have more for you. I had no idea. So God brought me to a place where I could see the acres of diamonds. I could see the incredible beauty of my season. You know, he talked about valleys. I would say, when I'm looking back at my life, I would say Anchorage was probably more so of a valley, because there was tremendous amount of growth. Even in that valley, God helped me to be able to finally see the acres of diamonds in that valley. I was able to see that there's a tremendous amount of beauty in that place. I think that I would not have been able to survive the highs and lows of Kodiak had I not been able to see the acres of diamonds in my Anchorage season. If I had not been able to leave my Oklahoma season and fully embrace my Anchorage season, there's no way I would have made it to the next season. Kind of makes me, you know, want to ask us now, what are the acres of diamonds in your hand in your 2020? What are you maybe holding on to? The control, the safety, the predictability of parts of 2019 that God is wanting you to let go of for 2020. That he's saying, let go of your old season, let go of 2019, put those glasses on, fully be able to see the acres of diamonds in your 2020, in what he has in this season of your life. Let go of the dreams. I can say with 100% accuracy, the dreams that I had in my Oklahoma season do not hold a candle to what God has done in my Alaska season, what God has awakened in my Alaska season.
Yes.
I didn't see that back then. I can see a little bit of it. We've been here over 10 years now. I had no idea. What you might be holding on to in your 2019 season, God is saying, it will not hold a candle. That the best dream that you're dreaming of won't hold a candle to what I have for you in your 2020 season. I have acres and acres of diamonds in your 2020 season. Let go of the control. Let go of what you think is your best dream, because I have far better for you. I have far better for you in your 2020. The acres of diamonds are before you. Amen.
I believe God at this point, he's going to do something right where you are. Each one of your life represent an acre of diamond. All of you. Could this be your prayer this morning? I'm going to get ready to close. Would you ask Jesus to open your eyes to the acres of diamonds that he has for you? Could be just as simple as that. Would you start your journey with Him? Would you start your journey by just saying, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else matters but Him? If you made this your prayer and you truly mean it, Don and I and our prayer team, we want to be able to agree with you in prayer. I believe there is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. Many of you, 2020 is going to be your last season here in Alaska. You're going to leave this place. Would you end this season on a high? With your eyes wide open, seeing the acres of diamond right here, right now. If that's you, come on. Come on, we want to pray for you. It could be your family. It could be a season that you have right now that you're saying, I want this to end. I want a new beginning. Now is the time. Now is the time. This is a God moment. Like my God moment.